Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, good Tuesday, everyone. It is Dom time. So before we look ahead, before we talk about what to watch for today as the drama builds, Mitch McConnell in the inside game. I know he looks like the turtle, but he does snap. I think he's done an excellent job of boxing Democrats in as we watch the drama of the Senate trial. But I think it's a good thing to take a look back at the deflated media. At the deflated media yesterday that was going to use that rally in Richmond to bank shot into talking about this is Trump's America. In fact, Alyssa Milano tweeted out what you're seeing at multiple Hollywood people. What you're seeing in Richmond yesterday is Trump's America. That became the byline. And the bigger story here, they're billing this as a not just a white supremacist rally held on Martin Luther King Day, but something that illustrates that this is a white supremacist country. That's exactly what was playing out. That's the thing that was going on. That's what this was all about. Boy, how deflated. I mean, Dan has been masterful. He found some of his own, and I saw several. When you look at the crowd, no doubt, yesterday, majority of people, the great majority of people, were white guys. There were women there. There were African Americans. The media, not so much, almost universally, not interested in those people. They're interested in the ramblings of the Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, an organization that I thought back in the day when it was founded, there was some hope for. You ever seen the amount of money that group gets and brings in? And I do believe it's a nonprofit. It's incredible, the type of stuff associated with them. So here are a few of the people maybe you did. Well, first of all, let's start off with AOC. AOC gives her State of the Union, it seems, every Martin Luther King Day. She does a big event in New York. There's a lot of alternative media. She's still the star. She's the captain of the real squad. I mean, we're stuck here in Philadelphia with Madeleine Dean. Why couldn't we have an AOC here? I don't know who our AOC is. We have Madeleine Dean. Here is AOC yesterday asking this question. Now, here's a woman that is the biggest fan of Black Lives Matter, that is the biggest anti-police and always questioning any of that. Listen to AOC yesterday talking about the big rally in Richmond, Virginia. Why were there not enough police officers there?
You know, another thing that I've been really thinking and sitting with today is that there's this gun rights protest that's right. happening right. down in Richmond.
Right. And on MLK Day.
On MLK Day. But here's the image that has struck with me the most about that, is that when we go out and march for the dignity and the recognition of the lives of people like Freddie Gray, mm-hmm. and Eric Garner, mm-hmm. the whole place is surrounded by police in riot gear mm-hmm. without a gun in sight. Mm-hmm. And here are all of these people flying Confederate flags with mm-hmm. semi-automatic weapons, mm-hmm. and there's almost no police officers mm-hmm. at that protest.
What an
so
insight.
So who or what are our institutions protecting right. from who?
Right, right.
And that image conveys it all.
Got it.
Conveys it all.
Well, there was some pronoun confusion there. Who or what? I think whom should have been dropped in there somewhere. I'm just saying here on the Dom Giordano Show. 855-839-1210. So here are some of the people that were there that caught our attention. People that talk about support for the Constitution, that happen to be African-American that the AOCs and the others of the world, you know where they would go, what they would say about them. How in the world could they be supportive of this? Here is, this will be 4B, Dan. Here is a young African-American activist talking about not just gun rights, but talking about the entitlement that people like AOC and Democrats feel toward the African-American vote and why blacks should and do support the Second Amendment.
I don't know exactly why, and I tell my viewers why it's important as black Republicans that you explore both sides of the party and understand the history of both parties.
Well, as far as history, I would say just in general, nobody should be entitled to your vote, because when they're entitled to it, they don't work for it. So I say listen to both sides of the story, both Republican and Democrat, and vote your values as far as that, because everybody has bad or good history. No matter like wherever you dig or wherever you look, you'll see good sides, you know, bad sides will not. But hear both sides of the story and decide from there. Don't just vote one way your whole life and not think about it, because it affects you.
And so tell me, what's your stance on the Second Amendment? Why are you here today?
My stance on the Second Amendment is that we should be supporting the rights of all people to be able to defend themselves. And I don't believe that criminals follow laws. And so I think it's very important that we make sure that people can defend themselves from the criminals that already don't follow the laws. And so I'm here today to support the Second Amendment, and not just black people's right to defend themselves, but Americans' right to defend themselves.
Now, admittedly, when you see the sheer numbers, the police said 22,000, other people think more. The reason this was done on Martin Luther King Day, historically, for whatever reason in Virginia, that's the day that people get together and lobby their representatives. Historically, it's called Lobbying Day or Lobby Day. That's when they do it. That's what it's all about. So this wasn't any idea to show up en masse and go after Martin Luther King Day to try to make some kind of statement about that. So 22,000 in that frigid cold, most of them from Virginia. We'll take some calls, but we have a montage coming up in which the media went out of their way the morning of, not even in advance, yesterday, talking about white nationalists, extremists, and violence. And isn't it amazing with all that was going? Now, the governor, and I know some of you on Twitter said he's a tyrant, he's not goofy. He's goofy, too. The goofy governor said kudos to what he did. It de-escalated the situation. Well, I don't think the situation was ever. That's exactly what the media is saying. Charlottesville 2.0. That's what they were hoping for. Not so much just because of the Second Amendment in Virginia, but because they were going to use this to bank shot into the impeachment trial. That's exactly where it was going. All right, Jim in Lansdale was there yesterday. Jim's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Dom. Yes, I was there yesterday, and let me tell you, I had never seen so many cops, you know. How many people live in Richmond? I couldn't believe how many police were there.
Yeah,
they were
well,
on the roofs and everywhere.
Right. Well, I think that's appropriate. I think my criticism of what happened in Charlottesville, there were not enough police, so the police did not do enough to send a deterrent message there. Were you okay with the number of cops that were there?
No problems.
Yeah.
No problem.
No,
at all.
I mean, I think it's.
I mean, they were nicest. Everybody right. was talking to the cops and everything, you know, vice versa. You know, they were nice to us and we were nice to them.
Well, look, when I hear Antifa is going to be there and they're dressing up like militia and others and then trying to start trouble, there was one guy that's on tape trying to do that was Antifa, then you need a police presence to move in quickly and separate that so that there is no trouble. But it was amazing to see 22,000 plus Americans come together peacefully in this manner and to send a clear message that I don't think Democrats are getting in Virginia, though. I think they're going to go forward and pass all these gun grabbing laws. That appears to be, you know, what their tactic is going to be.
I was talking to a lot of people down there and they believe the same thing, Dom.
Yeah, well, that's where
that's
where the sanctuary is. Well, I'm glad you guys went, though, Jim. Nice showing. Very, very peaceful with that number of people. I bet there wasn't a lot of trash either. You know, I have a thing about the other side, the trash component that's left behind. I didn't see these guys throw a lot of trash on the ground.
Matthew Sterling has a great tweet, Dom.
Yes.
He writes, Dom, if America is full of white supremacists, as the media claims, shouldn't black people have a right to own a gun to protect themselves from said white supremacists?
In fact, that's one of the things some of the African-American activists there said, that they, more than anybody, because sometimes living in higher crime communities or their right to protect themselves, it's a civil right, not just the Second Amendment. They were making that case. That's exactly right. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. You just push #1210. This will be cut 11. Here's a little montage of the media. Now, this isn't in advance. This is the day when they saw how peaceful these people were over a long period of time. There was nothing provocative. You get 22,000 people there on a volatile issue like this, and Antifa there. Maybe Antifa thought better of bothering the people that were there. That's always my thought. Antifa only strikes when they have overwhelming numbers and when there are people that won't and can't defend themselves. Here's a little media montage, though. As this was going on and there was no action, here's still what the media was saying yesterday.
Right now, thousands of gun rights activists, white nationalists, militia groups, all swarming the Virginia state capitol.
There are a lot of people nervous about what's going to happen.
Authorities in Richmond are on high alert.
It could be a tense day.
Just polarization. What may happen in Virginia?
Several hate groups, supposedly some white nationalists.
White nationalists.
White nationalists.
White nationalists.
White nationalist groups.
White supremacists.
White supremacists.
White supremacists. White extremists.
This entire rally stands in opposition to the meaning of this day.
Virginia on the edge.
How concerned are you that there might be some people in this crowd that may want to get violent?
There's certainly a lot of concern here.
Raising fears of a dangerous confrontation.
It could be violence. And there is real concern there about what the intention is behind this.
There's a lot of concern about the potential for violence.
Could spark violence. Tensions high in Virginia may cause violence there.
Northam clearly trying to avoid another Charlottesville.
Yeah. In Charlottesville.
Could see a repeat of what we saw in 2017 in Charlottesville.
Similar to what we saw in Charlottesville.
Worrying about a repeat of Charlottesville.
Horrible 2017 Charlottesville disaster.
You look at what happened in Charlottesville.
The two sides clashed in Charlottesville.
Men walk through the Capitol in Virginia carrying weapons of war.
Many demonstrators are, in fact, heavily armed.
Heavily, heavily armed.
Heavily armed. Look at the gear.
What is this all about?
Militia groups. Armed militia.
These militia groups.
Far-right militias.
Militia.
Militia groups.
Far-right extremists.
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 Look, those threats which caused the governor to call for a state of emergency have simply not emerged. The police very clear in saying that they have not had a single arrest during this rally.
Yes, there was not a whole lot of a montage to put together at that end point that none of those things materialized. Sad again. The script last night, what are we going to do? We don't have it. All right, we get tired of this. Let's move on. Let's go to the next script point. Let's not drill down and report this. There, I did see an interview with the mom of that young woman who was killed in Charlottesville that was run over, saying she thinks that some of these gun measures, even in the wake of all that's happened, were over the top, were too extreme. So that's not reported all over the place. All right, our side question of the day, 855-839-1210, you get on board with Dom, is with the big trial starting, I kind of thought of the good guy and the bad guy. I kind of thought of villains. Who's the all-time villain in your view? And be creative, you know, don't give us Hitler. We don't want Hitler or Stalin, you know, stuff like that. Let's take reasonable villains. And sometimes the all-time villain is kind of an anti-hero, not so much just a plain villain, but an anti-hero. I'll take one off the board, Dan, that, and you can see by the success of the film again, Joker. Joker is a villain, but people like the Joker. The Joker even says to Batman, without me and without you, I don't want to kill you, because what do I have if I kill you? There's no more fun. Remember when he burns the $50 million in front of the Russians? The Joker. All right, who do you say? All right.
It's pretty obvious, right?
Yes. Darth Vader.
Darth Vader, the best villain of all time.
Ranker agrees with you.
Really?
Yes, they do.
Wow.
They have him as the best. They have Joker second.
Ah, we got the top two off the board.
Right off the board. 855-839-1210.
So can they be villains from real life or not?
Yeah, let's allow that.
So we'll allow them, but if they're in the vein of politics, you're going to be dropped down a few pegs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's not just be political, or let's not go apocryphal, you know, Hitler, Stalin, stuff, and Mao. You know, I don't know. You could say Joe Biden's a villain. You know, you can't.
Stalin.
You can't go there. Yeah, I changed it up a little bit. All righty. 855-839-1210. We have a pair of tickets to see the Platters, Drifters, and Coasters together for one great show at the Hard Rock Hotel Casino, Atlantic City, on Friday, April 24th. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. It's a great prize. So between now and the end of the show, at the end of your call, hit us with your villain. Coming up, I'll give you what to watch for today. Today is going to be something that really sets what's going to happen in this trial. Today is the day, aside from all the bloviating that will go on. The rules of the game are what dominate today. And you know, if you follow sports at all, the rules of the game, once you have them, that's paramount. And Mitch McConnell is the referee, not John Roberts. Sing it at home. Sing it, all you Trump supporters. It's the big guy. Well, I guess Dan is going with Vlad as a villain. Vladimir Putin?
Just the Russians in general.
Oh, the Russians in general.
Yeah, throughout history, they've been the number one villain, right?
You know what? If somebody had called in with that, I would have said that's the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, all throughout history, all throughout media. Ivan Drago, you look at?
Yes. I still think they are the villains. I don't care which party or who says not. They are the villains.
Communism.
Exactly right. Yeah. By the way, the Democrat talking point, now that this Scherzer book is out there, the big guy who talks about money and politics and Joe Biden and allegedly, the brother, through the good offices of Joe Biden as vice president, sluiced through $54 million.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
Gosh almighty.
$54 million. So the Democrats' spin is, guess who is behind all this Biden corruption stuff? The Russians. The Russians are the ones that are promoting this because Trump and the Russians are afraid of Biden.
The president has a big stick.
They're afraid of Biden. They're afraid of him, and that's why they're the ones that are pushing this.
They're going to put you all back in chains.
Oh, that was left over for Martin Luther King Day. All right, so 855-839-1210. You hit us with that at the end of your call, and you might be off to the races here, off to this big event in Atlantic City. Now, the rules. Hard to follow the rules in football. What's a catch? What's a fumble anymore, right? But Mitch McConnell has laid out the rules for the Senate trial. And a lot of this I agree with. A lot of these people don't like it because they're actually going to have to work. Now, the first thing is they're not going to be able to be talking on their cell phones on the floor of the Senate. Oh, my God. The big battle today is going to be all these amendments Schumer puts up to the rules that McConnell has put down for this. Okay. First of all, it'll be up for a vote. No one will be permitted to call for new witnesses or documents. Okay? In addition to that, House Democrat managers and Trump's defense team will each be given up to 24 hours over 2 days to present their cases. Now, they don't like that. They'd like to have like an hour over 24 days. Eat your lunch at your desk. You want to have dinner? Eat your dinner there. Senators will then have 16 hours to submit their questions to Chief Justice John Roberts. After the Q&A period, the Senate will then vote on whether to consider and debate witness subpoenas. If the Senate votes no, no one will be permitted to call for new witnesses or documents. And then we're in the home stretch. Democrats, it's just the pace of these people, too. It's not just Democrats. These people take forever to get at anything. And then they say there's no time. They've run out of time. So what McConnell is trying to do with this, is speed things up, I think, in a rational way. You want to present your case for 12 hours, you got 12 hours. That's a long period of time to be bloviating. You probably do it in a half hour, but knock yourself out. You have 12 hours. Same thing with the Trump people. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So what you're going to see today, Chuck Schumer and others hell-bent. There will be, some people predict, I haven't seen an over and under here, but I could see 30 or 40 votes on amendments, procedures around this whole thing. That's the type of thing that you're going to see. That's going to be the highlight today. All that procedural stuff, all this nonsense. And then they'll adjourn till Wednesday after that's done. It's amazing. Is it any wonder? It's not just that they're trying to rush this or whatever. These people have no sense of anything other than their own entitlement, their own pace. They're starting at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. Why couldn't they start at 7:30 this morning or 8 o'clock? Nope, can't do that. Nope, wouldn't be proper. The Senate, after all, come on now. So it's going to be very interesting to see if Bernie Sanders looks like he's caged up because he can't get to Iowa today. And does this go on into next week? Yeah, it'll go into next week at least. So this week, next week, and then I think the final vote will be the following week. That's my prediction. I don't know about a Valentine's night vote. That would be kind of interesting. The president has added a bunch of people from the House, Zeldin, Meadows, a bunch of the usual people that you see on TV, to be part of this. And the one getting the most flack because he's the most dangerous is Alan Dershowitz. That's the guy they really have to sully. We talked about that yesterday a lot. All right, let's get a villain or two here on board. Let's go to Bob in Belmar. Who's your villain, Bob?
Yeah, hi, Dom. It'd be Hannibal Lecter.
Yes, Hannibal Lecter, all-time great. It was at least two films. I'm not sure if it was three, right? You know, Dan, when we started off with Lou Gall, we had a call. Would it be appropriate to go to Silence of the Lambs on a first date? This guy was calling in about way back then. I mean, what kind of maniac? The first thing I would do if I'm the woman, I'm excusing myself to the bathroom and then running.
Wait, the question has to be, was Silence of the Lambs in theaters when you and Lou Gall first got together?
I think it was,
wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
It may have been a little bit before it. I'm not sure. But
wow.
Yes, yeah. But
do you think it's okay?
No, not at all. You got to be crazy on a first date.
I think if it's clear that you both enjoy scary movies and...
It's not a scary movie, though, that's fictional. This guy's eating liver.
It's romantic.
You know? Oh, it's romantic, yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna mute his mic, Dom.
All right, let's go to Cliff in Doylestown. Hey, Cliff, good morning.
Hey, Dom, how you doing?
Very well.
I have an off-the-wall villain, Robin Hood.
Why was Robin Hood a villain?
Robin Hood has... Well, he was a villain in a sense... But he's also been heralded as stealing from the rich and giving to the poor.
Right.
Now,
we really know
about that.
Well, no, we know that Robin Hood, though, was stopping the sheriff of Nottingham from odious taxes. That's what he was doing.
He was a good guy in that sense. But nowadays, it's very popular to say, let's take from the rich and give to the poor.
I gotcha. But I think Robin Hood's been mischaracterized by the media. So that's outside the box, I got to say.
When he started this radio show 30 years ago, yes. Did you think you'd have an argument of whether or not Robin Hood is a villain or not?
No, but I have a lot of Robin Hood knowledge. I maintain, and this gets some progressives crazy, that Robin Hood was about going after the sheriff of Nottingham, not robbing from the rich and give to the poor. But stopping the aristocracy from collecting odious taxes. It was always about taxes.
What did Friar Tuck make?
What do you mean, what did Friar Tuck make?
What did he make?
How much money?
No. What product did he make?
Friar Tuck. No,
what
I don't
drink?
Know.
It was a drink. You don't know?
No.
Mead.
Ah. Well,
Come on, I thought you knew your Robin Hood knowledge.
Most of those guys made meads. Mead is an all-time factor. All right, So at the end of your call now, we got a few going here. At the end of your call, you hit us with your villain, whomever that might be, 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. You just push #1210 and we'll get you on board. In a moment, we're going to go to the White House to talk with a former Trump lawyer who's now their communications guy on all matters involving this trial. Today, be watching for, and this will be kind of dull unless one of these guys really goes off. This today will be about setting the rules of the game. And you know, and I know, that the rules of the game are the most important thing. That's what you got to play inside of, the rules of the game. So if McConnell gets his way at the end of the day, could be around 8 o'clock tonight, then what will happen? This is going to move pretty swiftly. I like these rules. It forces these guys to work. They don't like it because they might be there to 11 or 12 o'clock at night. So what? You wanted a trial. You want to engage all this stuff. You're going to work a 12-hour day. Not even a 12-hour day. And you can't talk on your cell phone during this. You got to sit there and listen to all Adam Schiff bloviating for a couple of hours. That's your punishment. You know, Dan, I've often thought if you there's a play about hell as other people. And it's about being in hell with the people that would just drive you in it for a second crazy. Yeah, I may have to do that after seeing today's stuff tomorrow. Like, who would it be if you're consigned for all eternity to have to hear droning on and there's nothing you can do about it?
Jack Solstheimer.
Oh, you mean our buddy from Delco, that guy, to Stolsteimer someone. You're the one that's being obnoxious with this stuff. Now, I ask you a legitimate question.
Thanks a lot, Dom.
Go right ahead and answer. Okay. Can't get away.
You hung up. I didn't hang up.
We can't do that in hell. It's eternity.
Too many Doms.
Too many Doms. Yes. All right. There you go. All right. 855-839-1210.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, hopefully we won't meet in the afterlife. All right. Coming up, we'll go to the White House to get you a sense of how they're viewing the rules.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And this opening here that starts today. Today's the day. I know the other might be high drama. I contend the rules being set, that's the major thing.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.